Thank you.
Any other members of the council on general communications? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to executive communications. There are none. A, acceptance of the minutes from the council meeting held on July 17th. Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
I'm going to abstain. I was not at that meeting. Thank you. Next up is public comment. Rule 41. After general communications and prior to the consent calendar, at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the city council each month, there shall be a period of time not to exceed 30 minutes during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following situations. The total period of time for public comment shall not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. Each citizen signed up and present shall have not to exceed 5 minutes to speak, provided, however, that if more than six citizens are signed up and present, the 30 minutes will be split evenly among speakers. Time shall not be transferable among speakers. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City council members will not respond to questions during the public comment period. Public comment session will terminate at the expiration of the earlier of the speakers concluding their allotted time or 30 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires unanimous vote of the council. This evening, we have 10 people that signed up. However, I know that the two individuals have left, so we now, I believe, have 8 individuals here that have signed up. I know people have been waiting a long time to speak, so I will make a motion to give everyone the 8 people that are here and present a full 5 minutes to speak, unless there's an objection.
Second.
Yeah, that has to be unanimous. Is there any objection? Okay, hearing none. It's so ordered. Thank you. Okay, the first speaker to the mic is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy Wilson. So this is about government and how we are perceived in the state. I don't know if I work from home, so I listen to talk radio all day. And all day people call in that are frustrated with Warwick and have nothing nice to say. They say, don't buy a house here, don't move here. It's filled with clowns, criminals, and bad money managers. And that's sad to me because I love the city, but I do hate the way that it's run. And most recently, the thing that happened here with involving Mr. Cody was shocking to me. And I'm not surprised that Ms. Travis did that. However, I was very surprised that not one of you stood up and stopped it. I've seen you stop things because Mr. Cody raised his voice and you've stopped the meeting for 8 minutes, but not one of you had the decency to say, time out here, we can't do this. So that tells me one of three things. Either you don't know the Constitution, which is alarming, or you don't care about the constituents, which is alarming, or you have a good old boy network, or you're afraid of Donna, which is alarming. I don't know why nobody stood up and said anything. We're a joke. Warwick is a joke. If you listen to talk radio, Matt and Dan all day just make fun of the city. Just terrible, terrible stuff. And if you're wondering why people aren't here, and yeah, you see new faces, because we have a group now that are making an effort to get all of you but two out of your position, and we're going to do it. That's why you see new faces. So the stall tax that's up tonight, which was almost, 3 hours, didn't work because 8 of us are still here because 8 of us are still mad enough. So if you don't think people aren't here because of this, not everybody can sit here for 3 hours and listen to you blather on and you talk about Robert's rules, but then you're making jokes, you're laughing, isn't this funny, but then Robert's rules. Like, you know, pick one. Are we serious or not? Again, I hate being the laughingstock of the state.
Thank you. The next speaker is Gia.
Hi, my name is Gia Salvia. I attended my first council meeting last month, and I was shocked at the behavior of our council to strip somebody's constitutional right away from him and to have him escorted out by the police. Not one of you had the guts to stand up for our constitution. You should all be ashamed of yourselves. You're not the people I want to represent me and my people. I want people who are for the people and not against the people. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you. The next speaker is Michael.
Hi, good evening. Everyone should take a good look at this sign. Our First Amendment, very, very important. The last council meeting that I attended, we sort of forgot about the First Amendment. We have veterans on this board who you swore an oath to the Constitution. You let it down. I'm here to remind you, you were here, you were elected by the people, and that's who you should represent. After attending last month's council meeting, I was shocked. No councilman stood up to defend the residents' constitutional rights. Shame on every single one of you. The people you elect to lead and work and look out for us. We don't want followers, we want leaders. Unfortunately, we have followers. Because if we had a leader, they would have stood up for the resident and the Constitution and went against the injustice that was served in removing the resident. Secondly, let's talk about the employee from the water board. There's a rule in place, no bullying, no intimidation. Put your hands on me, you've bullied me, you've intimidated me. This person needs to be fired immediately before he can retire and collect a full pension. We all know that this person's in the mayor's circle. So I don't see him getting fired. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you. Next is Chris.
I just have some observations generally about elected officials within the city of Warwick. At what point do the actions of a council member or elected official rise to the threshold of admonishment or removal? When can the council or whatever governing body needs to correct the city charter to establish basic expectations of behavior by way of recall or other corrective action? Or possibly a moral turpitude clause? The First Amendment protects the freedom of speech, press, assembly, and the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That was not allowed last month. I would like to thank the fine citizens of Warwick for listening and implore them to advocate for the corrective actions needed to hold our elected officials accountable in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is Barry.
Thank you, Barry Cook, President of Warwick Taxpayers Association. As it relates to the July 17th meeting and the abuse that was rendered upon Robert Cody by Councilman Travis, is inexcusable. The behavior was boorish, uncalled for. Mr. McAllister, you weren't here, but I want you to know that you're primarily responsible for her actions because you have set a precedent. When you don't like someone's presentation or the way they dress or the way they look, you immediately call upon Warwick Police Department, who are then asked to be bouncers, like you find in a nightclub. You call the police department to come in to remove somebody whose conversation or remarks you don't like. So you started that precedent. Councilwoman Travis followed your suit, except you do it more politely. She was boorish, her behavior was uncalled for. Certainly we know it was unconstitutional. Each of you folks have signed upon coming into office that you will support the Constitution of the state of Rhode Island, and the Constitution of the United States government. When none of you, and there's two councilmen here I must say I greatly admire, the rest of you I don't, but I admire Ed Lattisaw and I admire Jeremy Ricks. But I must say I'm disappointed in both Ed Lattisaw and Jeremy Ricks. I didn't expect any of the other council people to stand up for Robert Cody, but I would have expected Ed Lattisaw and Jeremy Ricks to stand up and overrule Councilman Travis. You people have a Robert's Rules of Order. You have the right to call into question a ruling of the chairman of the council meeting. You folks could have stopped that procedure and had Mr. Cody finish his presentation. He wasn't here for 2 minutes, and he was forced out of the building under threat of arrest. So we have here tonight, when I walked in, two policemen. That's intimidation. You might think it differently, but I feel intimidated when I walk in knowing that I'm going to make a presentation that none of you might like, that I might be faced with removal by these two uniformed, gun-carrying policemen who are now being asked to be bouncers. So in closing, here's what I think should happen. I think the council should censure Councilman Travis for her behavior. She should be censured publicly. And you council people have an obligation to speak out on our behalf. She should never be allowed, nor any of you should be allowed, to behave in that fashion in the future. If each time we come to these meetings, we're going to be faced with two gun-carrying policemen who are used to intimidate us, that is, in my opinion, nothing more than suppression of our public right to redress our elected officials. Now, I know the major over there, I tried to have a conversation, but I kept interrupting your committee hearing, so I never got a chance to have a full discussion with the major. But I do intend to speak to the colonel, or as I call it, the chief, because I don't think you people should be allowed to have these gentlemen bully us, intimidate us, and act as bouncers because we're here to express our points of view. I walked in tonight and I said to my wife, the first thing I said, we are being intimidated by their presence. Now, you have a sergeant of arms. Mr. McAllister, you made a point when I spoke about the sergeant of arms. You told me he's a retired police officer with dedicated service to the city, and I admire you for that. But he's the sergeant of arms. It could have been much easier if Councilwoman Travis, instead of getting on her high horse and overpowering everybody, she could have said to the sergeant of arms, please escort Mr. Cody out to the lobby. Because I was here one night when this gentleman and Mr. Cody was here, and you asked Mr. Cody, he came right over to Mr. Cody, I'm sure you remember, and I stepped in between, which I probably shouldn't have.
Mr. Cook, please stay on the mic because it's being recorded.
I'm sorry?
Stay in the mic because it's being recorded.
So it would have been much better if Councilwoman Travis...
1 minute, Mr. Cook. 1 minute.
...had asked the Sergeant of Arms to escort Mr. Cody lobby and calm things down. But you people should be ashamed of yourselves. And as I said, I admire Ed Lattisaw. I admire Councilman Ricks. You should have spoken up. I'm surprised and I'm disappointed in both of you. But going ahead, that should never happen again. We shouldn't be bullied or intimidated by two police officers. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is Don.
Thank you. Mr. President, members of the City Council, I just want to say that that was atrocious that night when he was asked to leave. All he does is be an advocate to the taxpayers, we, the people. It appears that only one person on the Warwick City Council is an advocate. And you may hate him because he's different. He thinks different than you people. Second point, I want to mention that it was in the Providence Journal a couple of weeks ago that Rhode Island has the third highest debt in the country. Number one is Massachusetts, Number two is Connecticut. Three New England states. And they all have one thing in common. You probably know that. And Mr. Howell, Councilman Howell, said that we do our homework. Quite often, we ask questions to members of the council, and they can't answer the questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next up, is it Jim?
Jim Italiani, thank you. A lot of people have trouble with that name. Number one, I love Warwick. I'm glad to be here. I looked at many, many other places, although I have family here, but I have chosen this community. Even though it may not be perfect, it's our choice, and I'm here and I want to grow with this community, and I want to be sure that the problems it has get better. The problem I'm talking about tonight specifically is 5 years ago when we moved here, we rehabbed a property, took us a number of years. Part of that rehab, of course, caused a problem because of COVID hitting us. And I called Mayor Solomon's office, what would that be, now 4 years ago, and asked why two pieces of property, specifically lots 433 and 434, had gone and started going to disrepair, trash, and other problems near our property. And I believe the mayor's, this would be Mayor Solomon's lady's name, was either Mary or Miriam. She said, well, you know, we're having a lot of problems with all the COVID problems, and we'll get that taken care of as soon as we can. Well, the next year, now that would be Mayor Picozzi's, and I was told that a lot of problems due to COVID, and there was a tractor that was broken. And the COVID is getting better, but the tractor needs to be fixed. And I was certainly going to be put on a list. In fact, I did talk to, I apologize, I think it was the highway department, and was told that I was definitely on the list. Another year goes by, I call up the mayor's office and ask what's going on. I get transferred to the highway office, and I'm told that we're definitely on the list, but by the way, one of the pieces of equipment needs a computer chip. And I said, now, wait a minute, I was told the tractor was broken. Well, we need a computer chip. And I said, now, just a moment. And I'm sorry, I need it. The first time I called Mayor Solomon's office, I was told that that was not city property. I had to come down to the city with a map showing that that, in fact, was city property. So my point, that's what is that? Number four excuse. So May of this year, I called up again, talked to the ombudsman for we constituents, and after a long explanation, which she had little knowledge of, I again called the highway department, and they said that, yes, I was still on that list, but, you know, they had some equipment problems. Okay. I went and talked to Betty again, and excuse me, I didn't mean to use names, and was told that our property, which is now 10 foot high, the city property, which is now 10 foot high, would be resolved in 3 weeks. Had somebody come out from the city department and trim about 2 to 3 foot on part of the property. I immediately called the mayor's office again, talked to Betty, and she said, well, I've done what I can do. I came down here in person.
You have 1 minute, sir.
Okay. Make a long story short, I have spent 4 years, last person I talked to was chief of staff. I've talked to him three times since May 18th, and he's always given me another excuse. The most recent excuse is he told me that he was going to investigate the history of the property. That's exactly what Mayor Solomon's office told me 4 years ago. The property is still, the two pieces of property is still a mess. What are you going to do to listen to a property owner who can't get the city to take care of the mess and the trash on city property? And I know you can't answer me today, can you? Can somebody give me a call? Can somebody give me an answer? If not, I promise you I'll be here every doggone month until you do. Thank you.
Thank you. And then the last speaker is Joanne. And she said she may not be able to stay. So Joanne, oh, there she is. Take your time.
Joanne Miller, Beach Avenue. Councilwoman Travis. I have nothing personal against you. Okay, Councilwoman Travis, I have nothing personal against you, but when a constituent has questions in regard to the situation, which you have a legal situation in your life, which affects the taxpayers of Warwick, as a public servant, it is your duty to remain composed and to not misuse your position in power. I formally ask you to publicly apologize to Rob Cote, and also I ask this council to reprimand in any way that you see fit, not to punish Ms. Travis, but to set a precedent for the future of the council that we are to be able to speak freely, not disorderly, and I'm not sure if Rob Cote violated any laws, but I think that he didn't, is from what I could read and tell from what I've read, and that we should be able, as members of this city, to come and talk to you about anything. And if it is a personal matter, which this is not a personal matter because you are on a public committee where they accused you of misdoing and allegedly, but you are a public servant in that. So we should be able to come before any of you and question your behavior and not be thrown out on our ear. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we can move the consent calendar, but we've been moving a couple of things along. I do believe there are individuals here for public safety, so I'd like to go back into committees, do the public safety committee. Those residents have been waiting a long time to have their claims heard. So unless there's any objections, we will go into public safety. Thank you.
Good evening. Public Safety Committee comes to order at 9:50. The first order of business is acceptance of minutes from committee meeting held on July 17th.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. PCR 89-23, resolution relative to claims.
Excuse me, Chairman. Could I ask that we just hold on to the committee until the conversation's taken outside of the chamber?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Chairman. I appreciate that.
P
People deserve to be heard in the people's house. Thank you. Go ahead, Chairman.
The first item is Victoria Almquist. The claim was recommended deny, and the city cannot be responsible for an errant softball hitting a vehicle and parked in lots nearby the softball field of City Park. Is there anyone here to speak? Please identify yourself.
Okay. Hi, I'm Victoria Almquist. Am I just...
Yes, I... Go ahead.
Okay. So, basically, I was told by a member of the softball league that they have insurance, and then I filed a claim through the city, so...
So, you're saying the softball team or the softball league said they did not have insurance?
No, they said they did have insurance, but that I need to file the claim through the city.
No, that is incorrect. They gave you false information. You need to file that directly with them.
Okay, thank you.
If I may? You go.
Yeah, I certainly think it's worth looking into whether they have insurance or not, but I will say that you are not the first person who has had a car hit by a baseball or softball or the like. Now, I'm not familiar with the specific location where your car was parked at City Park. About how close was it to the softball field?
It was like two double rows away, so I don't know. Like 1,500 feet.
And you were parked in a designated parking spot?
Yes.
Yeah, I could see at least that part from the photo you provided. And was there any netting around that softball field?
No.
Yeah, this is a concern that I had and expressed when there was a similar claim last year. Last year, it was at a different field. But this is why professional baseball and softball leagues, they put up netting. Because a concern that I have here is that for every person who comes up here and lets us know that this damage occurred, how many people are having their cars get hit by these softballs and baseballs that perhaps the city could prevent by putting up some netting? So where I'm going with this is that I think that perhaps procedurally the way to approach this is to first try to get reimbursement through the softball league's insurance, but after going through that procedure, I think that this is an issue where I think that the city would have liability, and not just to prevent softballs from hitting vehicles, but as a matter of public safety, where if you have a ball that's shattering a windshield, then if a person is walking by and they get one of these balls hit square to the skull, well, that could do some serious damage, and the city could be on the hook for a lot more liability than a $279.62 windshield. So procedurally, I would suggest after the rest of the comment that we hold this to see if there's a possibility of you getting reimbursements through the league's insurance. But I would say that we could hold it. But if you are not made whole by that insurance that the league has, then I would certainly vote in favor of reimbursing you through the city.
Thank you.
Is there any other comments from members of the committee? Any comments from members of the public? I'm sorry, council. Any comments from members of the public?
He looked right at me, too. He knows. He knows what he did.
Wait, I'm sorry. Anthony, I'm sorry. I missed your hand.
No worries. Only thing I was going to say is I know for a fact when it comes to being able to use the fields and whatnot, the city typically requires
the entities to get permits, and at least in the case for non-sporting ones, we needed insurance. So odds are that the league does in fact have insurance.
Thank you. Despite the comments from my colleague, I'm looking for a motion to deny as recommended. I'm making that motion to deny. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Nay.
Nay. The denial is approved 2-1. The second item, second claim, Bernard Fournier. The recommendation is for denial. The roadway in question is not a Warwick-maintained roadway, as noted in the letter to the claimant from the city of Cranston. Pillar Avenue is owned and maintained by the state of Rhode Island. Is there anyone to speak on that claim? Seeing no. Any comments from the committee? Yes, sir. Councilman Ricks.
I can see where the confusion would be here. It looks like it would be a city road, but in fact, it is a state road. So it would be more proper for the claim to be brought against the state. City doesn't have liability here. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments from the council? Any other comments from the public? Any comments from the public? I think my phone, thank you. So I'm looking for a motion to deny.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you. What a gentleman.
What?
All right, hold on. That one, yeah. The third claim tonight is Marie Hennedy. Is there anyone to speak on for this claim? Yes, miss. Ma'am.
Good evening. Thank you. I'm Dr. Marie Hennedy, doctor because I used to teach English at BC.
Before you continue, let me just read the recommendation was to deny, and the reason is the city cannot be held responsible for a driver hitting a trash barrel on the side of the roadway. The trash barrel was located behind the white fog line, and there's no way to determine that the barrel was in or near the roadway when the driver collided with it. Therefore, this department denies responsibility. Now speak to it.
Thank you. It's interesting. I hadn't heard that before. Well, basically, about 2:15 in the afternoon of Tuesday, June 6th, I was driving back down Cohasset Road from Stop and Shop toward Post Road, and a very big white truck was driving up Cohasset Road, and it was right, you know, on the yellow line, and so I just held on to my steering wheel very steadily, and the truck didn't hit me. But suddenly there was this noise on the right side of my car. And I pulled over to the side of the road, parked safely over by Cornerstone Baptist Church, and discovered that the entire rearview mirror on the right-hand side of my car was hanging off, and I brought pictures of that. I then looked back up the road and found that a trash barrel had been left right by the white line, and I took a picture of that. It was empty now, and it was pushed just the other side of the white line by my car because it hit me.
May I ask you a question? I'm looking at the where it was first after I hit it. So you're saying that's where it ended up. This is the picture I'm looking at.
Correct.
So that picture is after you've hit it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And the only reason that it's on the other side of the white line is because it hit my car. Mm-hmm. And if you'll notice, to the right side of this photo, the recycling bin at that house had been emptied as well, but it was placed back from the road, back near the stone wall of the house it was sitting in front of. So as a result, I went and pushed the empty trash barrel back from the road so nobody else would get hit by it. And I had to have my entire right rearview mirror mechanism replaced. I went to Tarbox where we bought the car, and they charged me $558.58.
Ms. Hennedy, just trying to be more concise and move this forward. First of all, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you coming, and I apologize that you had to stay here till this time of night to deal with
it. It's been interesting.
I appreciate that. My question for clarification is the invoice from Tarbox.
Yes.
Is what it costs to fix your car.
Correct.
Okay. If I may, and yes. I'll get back to you if we need to. Do we have any comments from the committee?
Yeah. So thank you for coming this evening. I suppose that my concern here and why, unfortunately, I would be voting to deny this claim is because of the legal standard. It seems to me what happened was an accident. I think that, well, I believe you. The barrel was in the road. I believe it was past that white line, because if you hit the barrel and it was still past the white line, well, you would think that the barrel would get pushed further to the side. And I'm sure that that's what would have happened. So I think that the barrel was probably in the road at the time that you hit it. But I suppose that how I see this, how I see the legal standard here, is that generally speaking, if someone is driving down the road and there's an object in front of them, then they have the duty on them to come to a full and complete stop or evade that object in the road. And so even though obviously the barrel shouldn't have been in the road, I think it is one of these situations that's more of an accident than it was, say, negligence on the part of the city. And in order for the claim to be approved, it's a matter of showing negligence, because otherwise, unfortunately, these accidents do happen. Thank you.
Thank you.
May I respond?
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Any other comments from members of the council? Any other comments from members of the public? In committees, we can, do you want to speak on this claim? Go ahead, please.
Lisa Morse, I just want to say, Puyallup Road is too narrow. It has no sidewalks. And the city does, the trash guys do just drop those barrels anywhere. So I feel like it's not her fault. Trash barrels shouldn't just be popping out in the middle of the road. It is too narrow. She had nowhere to go with that other truck coming down. It's too narrow, too wide. We need straight, wide roads with room for error. So I do believe it's the city's fault.
Thank you. Sir, can you identify yourself? And you're speaking on this claim, correct?
Yes, I am.
Thank you, sir.
James Italiani. And I agree with you, with Mr. Ritz. However, if there was an impediment for her to see, or if there was a clear and danger distraction, such as the truck in the lane, I think that would negate her having, her being responsible for having to go around that object. Is that not correct? Thank you.
Don't answer.
Thank you. Thank you. Again, I was starting to explain the committees. I cannot reach out to my colleague here and talk about this outside of this committee. Because
sure.
Then we are a quorum. We violate numerous open meetings law.
Fine.
So when we get here, it's the first time we're able to talk among ourselves. I understand what my colleague has said, but having read your description, having you come here tonight, and having you stay to this time to plead your case, I am making a motion to award in the amount of $558.58. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
That's right.
Thank you very much. And I'm so glad that that I didn't avoid hitting the garbage can, because then the truck would have hit me. And I think the city would be on the hook for a lot more than $558.58. So thanks very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for your time and thank you for taking part in our government.
My pleasure.
The next item is Jalitza Reyes. The recommendation is to approve. Before we make a motion, I did have a conversation, because I could, with Councilman Sinapi. Councilman Sinapi, can you please give us your comments?
So my concern with this one is, I agree with the recommendation that we should, in fact, approve a claim for this, but whether or not the right person has submitted a complaint, a claim is my question, because the documentation provided seems to reference a different owner. I'm going to butcher this name. I apologize. It says Katsuka Reyes, as opposed to the claimant here. And so it appears that we should, or rather the department should reach out and verify who the owner is. And if it's not the claimant, then the owner should submit documentation, even if it's a supplemental. That way we can resolve all business in one go, rather than approve this claim and then someone else either send the same claim in or sue, because I can't say for sure whether or not this is the owner, because the documentation says something else.
Go ahead, Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you to Councilman Sinapi. I completely agree. I also noticed that issue in the documentation, but I would also add to that, I suppose, on the first issue, that I think that it may be sufficient if we get an affidavit. It seems that this second person is a family member. It looks like it's a family plan. So I think that an affidavit would suffice, just so that we, the city, don't find ourselves in a position of a second person coming forward and saying, wait a minute, that's actually my phone. But the other issues that I wanted to touch on here briefly are that it does appear that the person submitting the claim properly checked off the box and notarized their affidavit that they have not sought funds from other sources. So no double recovery. However, looking at that plan, I do see that they have a protection plan that, at least at a previous point in time, they were paying the amount of $18 per month. It was a, I'm blanking on the precise name of the protection plan, but I looked up that protection plan earlier, and it does cover lost devices, which is what happened here. So it seems to me that it may be possible for this person to get their iPhone 13 paid for perhaps in full. I don't know if there is some sort of a copay, but my suggestion would be that the fair and equitable thing for the city to do would be to pay for the cost of that protection plan for that period of however many months that protection plan was in place, along with any copay, and that amount would be less than the amount of $1,100 which is sought and which the department had approved, because this would effectively make the claimant whole without giving unnecessary additional money. It's not about getting a windfall here. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm making a motion to hold and to get an affidavit that we are actually paying the owner of the phone. Do we need a motion on that, Council Solicitor?
You can certainly request putting a PCR and whatever recommendation you'd like to attach if it's coming off the consent calendar.
Okay. So can I have a PCR for PCR 8923? I'm sorry, wrong one. For Jolita's. What is it again, Laura? 9223. PCR 9223. So I'm making a recommendation. Hold. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The second one in
September. September 18th.
What date?
September 18th is the second meeting in September.
September 18th. September 18th. Okay, the public safety is adjourned at 10:12.
Finally, this evening is the ordinance committee.
That's not me. All right, where did I hate these. This is what I hate about. You're late. Mm-hmm. Choking up fur balls here or what?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to overrule you that type of, but I just thought she's taking my life.
Yeah. Justice is blind.
That's right. It's supposed to be. That's why, though.
Councilman Ricks, Councilman McElroy, Councilman Foley. There was a second set of minutes. If you could reconvene to move the other set, please.
No, it's fine.
So, if public safety could reconvene, it's 10:15 p.m.
The public safety committee has reconvened at 10:15. The item to discuss is the minutes from
June 5th.
June 5th meeting. Do we have a motion to accept?
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The meeting is
closed.
Closed at 10:15.
Thank you. Thank you. Ordinance committee.
Oh, I don't even have my thing with me. Oh.
Hey, that was right on too, because the 360 coverage.
And we were on the same page. Yeah, we got out there.
Agree with you on the last one too. Thank you. It's not going to be good for us.
Yeah.
All right, ordinance will convene at 10:16 p.m. First, we have acceptance of the minutes for the July 17th, 2023 meeting.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Next, we have PCO 18-23, an ordinance regarding the regulation of the smoking of vaporizing of cannabis, smoking or vaporizing of cannabis. And this is Councilman Howe, who would be first passage.
Thank you. I'm gonna call the Chief of Staff from the administration, Aaron McAsey. Thank you. I apologize, Chairman. I apologize. I refer to Aaron McAsey, Chief of Staff for the administration. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Thank you, Chairman. As the Councilman suggested, it's an ordinance regulating smoking and vaporizing of cannabis. As we all know, Rhode Island, as well as a large amount of states nationwide, have changed their statewide cannabis laws. What this drafted proposed ordinance before you tonight is just to bring us into compliance with that statewide change.
Any questions or comments from the members of the committee? Councilman Ricks.
I'm not sure if there's any regulations that would allow for lounges, public places of business where the smoking or vaping of cannabis would be permitted by the state. Kind of an odd question, but I don't seek out those types of businesses. And since there are bars where people drink alcohol, one would think that perhaps there is that sort of establishment out there.
Sure. So the ordinance was drafted in consultation with Councilman Howe and the Warwick Police Department by the Solicitor's Office. Specifically, the language in front of you is more about prohibitions of where individuals can smoke or vaporize cannabis. It's less about allowances and more about prohibitions.
So if there were that type of business in the future, this ordinance wouldn't necessarily prohibit it. It would be a matter of, well, then it would be a matter of an exception to the general rule.
I would imagine if a business like the one that you described would be similar to a cigar bar. In that case, it would have to be regulated by the local board of licenses, the Board of Public Safety, under state law.
Makes sense. And currently, it does not appear that there are any of those regulated or otherwise, well, obviously would have to be licensed establishments in Warwick. And there aren't any businesses that are actively applying for that sort of business, right?
Not to the best of my knowledge.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any questions or comments from members of the committee? Any questions or comments from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. Chief, did I understand you correctly? You said that this ordinance is in compliance with the Rhode Island state law?
Correct.
Thank you.
Councilman Gebhardt.
Yeah, I had similar questions to what Councilman Ricks raised, and had the opportunity to meet with the chief and with Councilman Howe. So this, if there were to be a state law that allowed a consumption type lounge similar to a bar, but for the consumption of cannabis, then that state law would supersede essentially this local regulation. The one thing that I would urge the city to start to think about is that there may be, I've seen in other parts of the country and in other cities, mainly in Massachusetts where I go to work most often, festivals or fairs or those types of things where the consumption of cannabis is permitted in those outdoor spaces, likely by some sort of permit process. So just to be up ahead of what could become a request that's made on the city and to use potentially other more progressive cities in our region as an example for the formulation of this. But I completely concur with what the chief said, that this language is almost taken identically from ordinances that have been put in place by other municipalities across the state. I'll leave it at that.
Any other members of the council have any comments or questions? Any members of the public have any comments or questions? Seeing none, we can entertain a motion.
I move favorable action.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. That should conclude ordinance at 10:22 p.m.
Good evening. Good evening again. Suzanne?
Yeah, it's barely on.
Good evening again. Good evening again. There we go. We are back in the full council meeting. So if you're following us on the agenda, we have done roll call, the salute to the flag. We've done general communications, executive communications. We've done A, the acceptance of the minutes, and we've done public comment rule 41. So now we're moving to agenda item number one, the consent calendar, PCR 84-23, committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Bid 2023-427, bid 2024-010, bid 2024-158, bid 2024-150, bid 2024-100, 2024-063, 2024-157, 2024-130, 2024-076 Alpha, 2024-076 Bravo, 2024-081, 2024-085, 2024-131, 2024-112, 2024-083, 2024-110, 2024-142, 2024-056, 2024-152, 2024-153, 2024-074, 2024-154, 2023-185, 2024-111, 2024-128, 2024-155, 2024-143, 2024-151, 2024-122, 2023-048 Alpha, and 2024-141, 2021-241. That concludes the bid calendar, Mr. President.
Thank you. That's PCR 87-23 relative to bids. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier in the Finance Committee? Okay, next is PCR 88-23, resolution relative to abatements. Committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe. You want to move favorable action?
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. PCR 88-23, abatements, was moved favorable action with an amount of $128,596.75.
Thank you. That's the new number as we pulled some claims off. So the number that we are looking at right now, as you said, $128,596.75 at the
basis. Yes, Mr. President.
Any questions or comments on that were not asked earlier this evening? Okay. Next is PCR 89-23, Committee Report, Public Safety.
Thank you. I have a question for us. In two claims were voted on, but they were passed 2-1. Do we need PCRs on those or not because they were passed?
No, there was no request to have them removed for separate voting. The recommendation stands as presented.
Okay. The first claim to Victoria Olmquist.
If you could just move it favorable, we'll get a second.
I'm sorry. Move favorable action on PCR
89-23.
Thank you.
Second by Councilman McElroy. Go ahead, Councilman Foley.
Okay. The first claim for Victoria Olmquist was to deny. The second claim for Bernard Fournier was to deny. And the third one, Marie Hennedy, was to approve in the amount of $558.58. The fourth one was held, and there's a PCR for that.
Okay, so we're just going to take up those three, the two denials and the approval for $558.58.
If I may, I would like to request a PCR on items 1 and 3 of that consent calendar.
Could have a PCR. The denial, the two denials.
We can't. So Councilman Ricks has requested that these items be voted on separately. So if we could separate out the claim of Olmquist, could we have a PCR? I believe it's 93-23. The claim of Fournier will be the loan claim remaining on PCR 89-23. And the claim of Henny, the recommendation of approval, could we have a separate PCR for that one? 94-23. Okay, so just to update the members, the vote is on the consent calendar. Which has the bids that remained on there, the abatements that were not removed, and now the loan claim that will be part of this vote would be the denial of Fournier.
Councilman Lattiser. Any other questions on PCR 89-23? Okay. Are there any questions on the consent calendar as a whole? Okay. It's been moved and seconded. The clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Ms. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
I'm sorry. This is on which one?
The consent calendar.
Oh, the consent calendar. Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. A number of items have been removed. First up is bid 2022-006 is now PCR 90-23. Committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments on 2022-006, which is now PCR 90-23, that were not asked earlier this evening in finance? Councilman Ricks.
I am recusing myself from this vote, and I submitted the paperwork to the clerk.
Thank you, Councilman Ricks. Councilman Lattiser, any other questions? Okay. Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action, which is now PCR
90-23.
Mr.
McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Epstein?
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. The motion passes. Next up is the abatements. There was a number of abatements that were pulled, and the amount is $2,975.68. $2.60. Committee report, finance.
Favorable action on PCR 91-23.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. I believe Councilman Sinapi, you've asked that a number of items be pulled off. Would you like the solicitor to read their names?
These are the abatements of Bailey, Kissinger, Lowry, Martin, Miller, and Toulin in the total amount of $2,975.60.
Any questions or comments from members of the council on this? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action on PCR 91-23.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattison?
Yes.
Mr. Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. And the final, the next item that was pulled from the consent calendar, PCR 92-23. I believe that's the claim of Rays. It's going to be held to September 18th, correct?
Correct.
Okay, held to September 18th. With two other items that were pulled off.
The next item is the claim of Almquist.
Okay, committee report, public safety.
I want to make sure I word this right. It's favorable action to deny, because that was the recommendation from the director.
Correct. Correct. So you make a motion for favorable action to deny.
I'm making a motion to favorable action to deny.
Okay, second by Councilman McElroy. Okay, any discussion or comments on this? Councilman Ricks.
I would prefer to continue the matter, but for the reasons discussed in the committee, I understand if we end up just moving forward. I will just intend to vote to approve, just for procedural reasons in case of the need for reconsideration, for the reasons discussed in committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Ricks. Any other questions or comments on this? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action, which is to deny.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattison?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
To deny?
Right, just in case I need to make a motion to reconsider later on. Hopefully not. Hopefully it's covered by insurance.
Yes.
Nine yes to deny.
Thank you. The next item that was pulled off, committee report, public safety.
Recommendation is to approve in the amount of $558.58.
And that's
PCR 94-23.
We moved that for favorable, second by Councilman McElroy. Any questions or comments on this one? We're not asked earlier this evening. Councilman Sinapi.
Only to note that I think approving this is a bad idea in the long run, not because any issue with the claimant. She's very nice and she stuck it out for a very long meeting, but more so from the perspective of if we start accepting liability under those circumstances as described in her claim, we're going to have a lot of problems. Forget Cuisa Road. Main Ave is a prime example with the trash bins. Anyone who's driven down there knows. And that's not to mention all the other potential areas of liability, but this should be a concern of the property owner, not us.
Thank you. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would concur with Councilman Sinapi as well as Councilman Ricks. I think this is really opening us up to long-term issues. We start approving issues like this that happen on a state road, so I will be voting no. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
So this will be an action to deny this claim, right?
No.
This is to approve $558.
Oh, so I will be voting no to approve it. So,
apologies, Councilman. That was my mistake. Please proceed without prior commentary.
So I'm voting not to approve this claim. Thank you.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Mr. Sinapi?
No.
Ms. Travis?
No.
5 yes, 1 no.
Thank you. Motion passes. I believe that is it from the consent calendar. Okay, we are now moving to unfinished business. First up is PCO 18-23, committee report ordinance. For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Lattiser. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in the ordinance committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes. Number two this evening is PCR 68-23-2023-427. Committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
Favorable action to withdraw, correct?
Withdrawal.
Correction, I apologize. Favorable action to, correction, request to withdraw favorable action by the committee.
Okay, do we have a second on that? Second by Councilman Foley. So a yes vote is to withdraw. Any questions or comments on that? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action to withdraw.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Howe?
Yes.
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 Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion is withdrawn. Number three this evening is PCR 81-23-2023-443. Committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman McElroy.
Favorable action.
And second by Councilman Foley and Councilman Howe. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in the Finance Committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. The motion passes. We're now moving to new business on the agenda, and the first item is a unanimous consent item, which is PCR 86-23, a resolution to sell the property at 3027 West Shore Road. My first question is there any objections from members of the council at hearing this item at this time under unanimous consent? Okay, hearing no objections, we will now take up PCR 86-23, a resolution to sell the real property of 3027 West Shore Road. I believe the administration is here to highlight this for us this evening.
Tom Kravitz, City Planning Director. This was requested of us upon a title search done by the high bidder's attorney. And there was a question in the title that the property shall be used as a school use only, which prompted me to do research over the course of several weeks, council minutes, resolutions, eventually taking me to school committee reports that were at the Preservation Society going back to the mid-1850s, which is amazing. And I went through, I was able to piece together kind of the picture about what was done at that time. Buttonwoods, prior to be called Buttonwoods, it was called the Plains District, Plains District number 3. And there was a subcommittee put together to find land for a new school that became the property, which was where, you know, the former annex was. This led me to getting a resolution from the school committee, which we did successfully obtain. And we went back and I recorded that decision with all the supporting documentation from the minutes of that time. Which did not say, you know, it was to be as a school use in perpetuity. There was no description of rights of reversion to the seller. The seller was paid for the property. Went back to the title attorneys, and they had crafted our solicitor had crafted this resolution to kind of close the book on the sale and authorize it. And so that's why it's before you.
Thank you. Yeah, so the lawyers got involved and slowed the process down. But it seems like the school committee, they did their side of it. So now they're looking for us. Again, we've already voted on this to sell this property. It's going to be some new housing, much needed housing. And it also get off the city's payroll. We've had to send them out to mow the lawn and do some upkeep on the property because it's taking a little bit longer with all the rain and everything like that. We wanted to make sure that we're still keeping up on this. So I'm in support of this. It was a kind of a legal thing to dot all the I's and cross all the T's here. This is property is in Ward 7. I thank my colleagues for their support when we sold this. And I think housing is a good thing. And it'll be a good fit in that neighborhood where their housing is already in place. So thank you. Any questions or comments from members of the council? And we will also open up to members of the public as this was not in committee because it was under unanimous consent. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. So, Director, I want to be sure I heard you correctly. You stated that there is no language in any of the documents that the administration was able to attain or the school department was able to attain that had any language that contained the willing of this property to be used for XYZ in perpetuity. There's no language like that found anyways.
Correct. There was no action by any councils that explored that title and clarified the proceed restriction. I'll say it that way. I found the original bid opening for the senior center in 78. There was no discussion of it at that time. You know, it was a senior center for quite some time. And then, of course, it became annex building much more recently. But there was nothing exploring. It's as if no one did a title search on it until we went to sell it. It was a title from the deed was March 14th, I think, of 1873. And the information I found from the school committee was a subcommittee of three school committee members in 1871 and two were seeking property. And they finally made an agreement with the seller. They designed a school. The school was built for just over $2,000. It was originally a one-room schoolhouse. Then that became dilapidated some 50 years later. And instead of demolishing it, instead of adding two rooms onto it, they demolished it and made a three-room schoolhouse. It took weeks to find all the information, but it was very interesting.
So there was no document that shows or proves or states from the parties that supposedly willed this parcel to the city with those restrictions of education and perpetuity. I just want to be clear from, you know, the things that you hear and the things that we know. So is that an accurate statement? Do I have a clear understanding that there is no will, no paperwork, no documents by the descendants, if you will, who willed, no pun intended.
Correct. It wasn't willed. It was sold.
Okay. And there was nothing in that document, that bill of sale, that said we agree to accept the sale of this property for educational purposes and perpetuity. None of that stuff is in there.
No, I found more evidence. I said the school committee said it.
Okay, Mr. President, thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members of the council? Any questions or comments from members of the public on PCR 86-23?
Oh, excuse me, Mr. President.
Yep, let me just one more time for the members of the public. Any questions from members of the public? Okay, Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. So, Director, I assume that with the upcoming finalization of the Aldridge Building. If that work that you just went through, the administration just went through in school committee, if that has not already been done, I assume that it will be done before.
I looked.
Sorry?
I already looked because of this.
We're all
believe
set.
Me, yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from members of the council? Okay, it has been moved favorable and seconded. All is the clerk will call the roll for favorable action. Yes.
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 Thank you. The motion passes. Ward 1, anything to docket under unanimous consent?
No.
Ward 2.
Pass.
Ward 3.
Pass.
Ward 4.
Pass.
Ward 5.
Pass.
Ward 6.
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 8. Ward 9. Councilwoman Travis.
If there be no further business of this honorable body, I move to a docket session.
All those in favor of moving the docket session, say aye.
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 Any opposed? We are now in the docket session. Ward 1, anything to docket?
Yes, a resolution in regards to the installation of four-way stop sign at the intersection of Tyler and Jefferson Street with a traffic study.
Public safety. Ward 2.
Pass.
Ward 3.
Pass.
Ward 4.
Pass.
Ward 5.
Pass.
Ward 6.
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 8.
Amendment to the ordinance regarding delivery of tobacco products to persons, well, to minors, should put.
Ordinance. Ward 9. Okay. All right, there is no more business before the council. We will see you in a few weeks.